Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this day's meditation is Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21. The Old Testament lesson read just a moment ago. Where on earth did Joe learn to govern? I'm in my 70th year. To my knowledge, Joseph Biden, at age 77, is no Old Testament character. But I'm not thinking about Joe Biden when I ask this question. I'm thinking about Joseph mentioned in Genesis chapters 37 to 50. He was the 11th son of Jacob, the Old Testament patriarch, millenniums ago. The real Old Testament Joe learned to govern in Egypt as a viceroy of an unnamed pharaoh. A viceroy is someone who runs a nation as a representative leader. Literally, it means in the place of the king. So we could say that Joseph learned to govern at the feet of the pharaoh, and eventually the pharaoh made him ruler over all the land. Yet governing was no easy task for Joseph. He faced obstacles. He faced sinners, like his own brothers. Now, sin is always an obstacle to peaceful governance. His brothers were persistent in their sin against him. In his teens, Joseph became alienated from his brothers. They hated Joe. They threw him in a pit, and then they worked out a deal for 20 pieces of silver. That resulted in Joseph's slavery to the Ishmaelites. That's recorded in Genesis 37. In Genesis chapter 50, it's more of the same. This time, the brothers feared that the exalted governor, Joseph, would do them harm. So they lied to him. They lied to him about his deceased father's will for them. Now, it's an interesting Bible study to examine the storied life of Joseph in the Old Testament and compare his life to that of Jesus. There are many types and shadows in the Old Testament. These types and shadows point us to Jesus Christ. We say that Joseph is a type or a shadow of Jesus. Here are a few of the many examples of the similarities. Joseph was loved by his father, Genesis 37:3. God the Father said of Jesus, "This is my beloved son," Matthew 3:17. Joseph's brothers conspired against him, Genesis 37 again. They took counsel against Jesus, Matthew 27:1. They stripped Joseph of his garments, Genesis 37:23. They stripped Jesus during his trial, Matthew 27:28. Joseph was sold for silver, Genesis 37:28. Jesus was sold for silver, Matthew 26:13. Joseph's own brothers did not recognize him, Genesis 42:8. Jesus was not recognized as the Messiah. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife and did not sin, Genesis 39:9. Jesus was tempted in all things, yet was without sin, Hebrews 4:15. Joseph's brothers bowed their knee to him, Genesis 41. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, Philippians 2:10. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh. Genesis 41:46. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, according to Luke 3:23. God planned the suffering of Joseph in advance to save many. Genesis 50:21. Jesus said that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but be saved. John 3:16. Joseph was made ruler over all of Egypt. Genesis 41. Jesus said, "All power has been given to me." Matthew 28:18. Joseph's brothers repented for what they did to him. In Genesis 42:7. Of Jesus the Messiah, we read in Zechariah 12:10, "And they shall look upon him, me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn." While Joseph bore many similarities to Jesus, the I am statements in the Gospel of John clearly indicate that Joseph only foreshadowed the Messiah. Joseph acknowledges this in verse 19 when he says, "Am I in the place of God?" Jesus is God, and he said of himself in John's Gospel, "I am the bread of life," chapter 6. "I am the light of the world," chapter 8. "I am the door of the sheep," chapter 10. "I am the good shepherd," also chapter 10. "I am the resurrection and the life," chapter 11. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," chapter 14. "I am the true vine," chapter 15. As to his intelligence, Joseph may be compared to King David, but he was not omniscient. He didn't know all things. Joseph learned to govern in good and bad times. He learned that his troubles were meant only for his good and the good of all those he served. Genesis 50, verse 21 is remarkable. "So do not fear," Joseph said to his brothers. "I will provide for you and your little ones." He comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. This verse in chapter 50, verse 21, describes attributes that Joseph could only have learned from God himself. Verse 21 defines the attributes of God in Christ: kind, goodly in his mercy. Joseph's reply to his sinful brothers points to God's mercy and kindness rather than do evil toward his brothers who deceived him. Joseph was forgiving. The rule of Joseph, and more importantly, Jesus' lordship, is meant for good. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that Jesus governs in his eternal kingdom for our good. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, it doesn't always look like good will come from trouble. Joseph could tell us that sometimes troubles are the pits. This smoke, these fires, this COVID-19, this racial unrest are troubles aplenty. We understand what Joseph and his brothers were experiencing. We understand it from our own experiences in life. We know trouble. Sometimes we get into trouble. We've all been in trouble. Most of our troubles are the result of our own sins. We confessed those sins a moment ago. Other troubles may be the result of the sins of others toward us. When we are in trouble, we need help. Naturally, like Joseph's brothers, we seek help. When our health fails, when calamities endanger our lives, we feel our weaknesses, we know our frailties, and we look for help. God does permit us to suffer. Logic tells us that God could prevent our troubles. He's the ruler of heaven and earth. His power is mighty. It's unending. Why didn't God prevent Joseph's troubles? Why does he permit troubles to come upon us? We're not alone when we ask, why so much smoke? Why so many troubles? There's not always a satisfactory answer as to where and how troubles find us. However, God wants us to call upon Him in trouble. Psalm 50:15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Lutherans speak of the theology of the cross. When in our troubles, bearing our crosses, God may seem hidden behind a mask of sorrow and pain. The cross, a place of sorrow and pain. The cross of Jesus shows us that Jesus, like Joseph, is compassionate. He weeps for those he loves. Our Lord is powerful to save. Romans 1:16 brings home the message of the beautiful, blessed gift of the cross of Jesus. God speaks kindly to us in the gospel. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe." In the gospel, we learn that God is merciful. Because of Jesus, our first option in trouble must always be, "I will call upon God. He will help me for Jesus' sake." When Leonardo da Vinci painted his famous picture, The Lord's Supper, he took the greatest pains to paint the figure of Christ in such a way that the eyes of every beholder would be fixed upon Jesus. Joseph's brothers were unkind to him, but another kinship redeemed Joseph. This kinship in Christ made Joseph compassionate toward his brothers. By faith, God permitted Joseph to realize, and He permits us to realize, that God loves us, that God's kindness gave us Christ as our brother. And our brother redeemed us by his perfect obedience, by his suffering and his death. And what was true for Joseph is true for us. Christ has delivered us. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification, Romans 4:25 tells us. Brothers and sisters of beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, the Lord is at work in keeping our souls, just as he did for Joseph. We need not be overwhelmed by the forebodings and the predictions of impending calamity. Psalm 121:7 says, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.